y'all won't stop asking questions. I love this. I really do love it. Y'all got questions on questions on questions. It just keeps the content going. If you didn't listen to the last episode, go listen to it. Anyways, welcome back to another episode of the Black Girl Tea Podcast. If this is your first time here, welcome. If it is not your first time here, welcome back. Y'all have been having a lot of questions, and I love this. And one thing that I love about all the questions that I've been getting is it shows me that you guys actually listen, and I'm not just background music and background noise for y'all. Like, y'all really be tuning in and listening to the kid. That make me feel real good. Real good. But the last few episodes have been talking about, like, healing, the healing journey, being able to understand Black men, so on and so forth. And y'all have had questions. I love it. So this episode will be another episode of answering questions. Not necessarily answering questions, but someone asked me to shine light on religion and things like that, and how I've gotten to the point where I'm confident and comfortable to serve God publicly. And I'll answer those. I'll talk a little bit about religion with y'all. I don't have a problem with it. But before we jump into the episode, I want to know, how are you doing? We didn't have an episode last week. We had an activity. I hope you did the activity. If not, I understand. You know, I ain't really pressed about it, but I really hope you did it. But what's going on? Update me. Talk to me. I'm listening. Text me, call me, however you tap in, and let me know what's going on with you. Do that right now, and I'm going to have a sip of this Taylor Port, and we're going to, oh Lord, talking about Jesus and Taylor Port, don't mix. But we're going to do it. So, and you know what's, before I get into the episode, what's really cool, and it may not be cool to y'all, but it's cool to me, is that I'm realizing that a lot of the people who have had questions and have asked me to expound on things are people from, you know, they came to my last two events, and I love that. Love that. But we finna get into this. So, as you all know, I absolutely love God. Absolutely love Jesus. That's the homie. That's my all in all. He is ahead of my life. You know what I'm saying? Without him, there would be no me. Simple as that. But people want to know how I got to the point of being able to just, like, acknowledge God publicly in everything that I do. And, I mean, there's really no journey to it because, I mean, I was raised in the church. I'm practically born on the damn pew, to be honest with you. But, my mom had me at a young age, as y'all know. So my mom grew up, obviously, under her mother's roof. Which means I grew up under her mother's roof. So I had to do what was told. That was going to church on Sunday, whether it was one, two, or three services, Monday night prayer, Bible study, Friday night worship. I was with my grandma when she was cleaning the church on Saturday in preparation for Sunday. Children's choir, youth service, sunshine band, all of that. I was a participant in all of it. So it was just really... having a relationship with God has always been, like, a way of life for me. It's not like I had to do research and find a religion that made sense to me. Like, it was just, it was placed in front of me, and I did as I was told. From a very young age, we learned how to pray. We read the Bible. I could tell you exactly, oh, that's in the New Testament. Boop, this is in the Old Testament. Bop, 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 bop. Like, I can do all that for you. And I was forced to go to church. Like, I was a child. I had no choice. I had to go where these people were taking me. One thing that I can say that I always admired was that my grandparents and the elders that were in my life, like, first of all, shout out to God's way. God's way. Shout out to God's way. But, like, all of the people that, the elders that were a part of my life, I admired how, like, they didn't care. We could be in Golden Corral and they would start praying. And it could be the, like, us as a family sitting there and we praying for our food, people looking at us crazy. And at a young age, you really don't understand it. But as I got older and just seeing how people just reverence the presence of God, like, that was something that was just like, this is so beautiful to me. As I got older and understood that, like, not everybody had the freedom to practice religion and to live their religion out loud, I started to, and I want to, let me see, want to say maybe middle school. It was middle school because Mr. Reardon, he was my history teacher. It was middle school. Mr. Reardon was my history teacher. And when we would learn about religion, I was just always so fascinated about things. And learning that, like, people used to hide and sneak and pray to the person that they worship, like, and I'm here doing this freely. That made me just like, yeah, I'm going to talk about God out loud because I have an opportunity to do it freely. I'll say when I was a teenager, around the time my grandfather passed away, it's when I really started taking religion seriously. And it's not that I didn't take it seriously before, but it was kind of like I was doing it because it was a part of my my routine in a sense. Like, I knew on Sundays we wasn't going nowhere but to church. I couldn't go to any of my friends' houses on a Saturday to spend the night because I had to be in church on Sunday. When my grandfather died, that's when I really had to, like, really start developing my own relationship with God, because y'all know the cycles of grief is outrageous. And coming from a family who really didn't shine too much light on mental health, I had to figure it out for myself. And, you know, they didn't talk to me about mental health and therapy and stuff like that at that age, like, prior to my grandfather dying. So all I knew was to just call on the name of God, and God would be my help. And that's really all it was for me. As I started to pray and ask God for help and seek understanding of his word, it just became something that I did out loud. Like, I wasn't the girl who walked around with a Bible, but I definitely had my Bible app on my phone. I used to get the morning emails of, like, scripture of the day and things like that. And it was a thing for me. Started my day with gospel music and things like that. Like, it really was just, it went from being a routine that I had to think about to a routine that I didn't have to think about. I have always woken up in the morning and prayed. Thank you, God, for waking me up this morning, giving me use and activities of my limbs. And then as I started, you know, getting older and developing that relationship with God, I had to understand that you have to be very specific with God, because he has a sense of humor. And as I got older, really just, you know, learning how to pray with intention and things like that, and really just asking God to show himself to me and me be able to understand and accept who he was, that was a really big thing for me. Like, God, these people are telling me that you are real. Show me that you are real. And it's the craziest thing to to talk about out loud sometimes, because we're asking God to prove himself to us, and we already know that he is exactly who he is time and time again. Because even now that I'm definitely more mature than what I was then, but I'd be like, God, if this not for me, show me a sign. And he showed me a sign, all right. Sometimes I don't be listening, but that's what it really came to me as I got old enough to be able to make certain decisions for myself. I stopped going to church, and I really just, it felt like a formality for me. Like, going to church on Sunday was routine. Not that the church that I was going to as an adult, and more so as an early adult, not that it necessarily wasn't working for me, but it just, like, I just stopped feeling like my soul and my spirit was getting, like, fed. So I stopped going for a little bit, watching T.D. Jakes and other people on TV, trying to figure out whose teachings were the best for me. And I realized T.D. Jakes is the man. Like, I wasn't going to church, but I was watching T.D. Jakes religiously on Sundays. That was my routine. I would wake up, get myself together, watch whatever sermon T.D. Jakes had out, that's what I was listening to. Ever so often, I would actually go into a church, but I was still tithing and things like that, because I understood the importance of all that. Still tithe to this day. I don't always go to church. To this day, I still watch a good T.D. Jakes video in the morning and go on about my day. I still get my Bible app, like, open that app, be like, all right, what's the scripture of the day? Things like that. During COVID, though, is when, definitely before COVID, I'll say before COVID was when I was just like, oh, I'm gonna pray. I didn't care. When I was out with my friends, and we would be at a table and we would eat, I would kind of like, when they would dig into their food when they come to the table, I would act like I was, you know, looking for something, or I would be in my purse getting a hand sanitizer, and while I was digging through my purse, I'm praying over my food. And at a certain point of it, I was like, this is getting old. Like, I'm gonna just pray out loud. And I remember one time, it was me, Kayla, and a couple of our friends, And y'all know me and Kayla, we church kids. So we're sitting at the table and I was like, all right, y'all, we're going to pray for our food. And everybody was looking at us like, what? What are they talking about? And I ended up praying for the food. And I told my grandma, like, yo, I prayed for the food with my friends today and it was kind of weird. And she asked me, like, why was it weird? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess they don't pray for their food or something. And my grandma was like, well, you better always pray for your food. Even if it's out loud or, you know, to yourself, you pray over your food. And I was like, yeah, but sometimes, like, it feels like I'm being weird about it when I'm praying to myself. And she was like, why? Like, you feel like you need to pray out loud? And I explained it to her, like, yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like I really do need to pray out loud. And she was like, so then pray out loud. And if people have a problem with that, they didn't have a problem with that. Move away from them. And those words stuck with me for a very long time. I would be with Kayla and I'm like, oh, you gotta pray for the food. And I knew Kayla was gonna pray. Like, we gonna pray out loud. We'll have a fucking shut-in. Oh, I cussed again. Y'all, look. Me and Kayla would have a shut-in if you really let us. It don't matter where we have. We gonna praise the Lord. But as we got older, you know, just being around certain people and realizing, like, all right, this person's looking at me weird for praying for my food because we don't have the same religious belief. So that encouraged me to have a conversation with some of my friends, asking them what their religious belief is. Does it make them feel some type of way when I pray? If it does make them feel some type of way, why? And I have a couple friends who, they're not even Christian. They practice something else. But they were just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, for you to pray out loud, it would just seem weird because we don't pray to the same people. And I would ask them, like, you know, who do you pray for? And, like, what's your religious belief? And we started talking about it. And like, yo, like, friend, I understand that you're Muslim. I understand that you're, you know, you're something else to me. But, like, why can't we pray together? And they started looking at me weird. Like, you really want to pray? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I don't think that we should hide the fact that we're, you know, we have religious beliefs. And some of my friends, they came around to it. So we would pray when we had food. If there was a religious observation happening, like, we would talk to each other about it, get an understanding of things. And that's where it really came from, being able to be in a friends group who supported me with having a relationship with God is what helped me be a lot more confident with it. In the beginning, I wasn't always confident because, like, it wasn't always cool to be a church kid. It was a joke. You were the theme of a joke sometimes. Like, oh, is she going to church? Like, all right, church girl. And my friends really were just like, oh, okay. Like, it gets to the point where we would have dinner and we would get the food and everybody would just look at me and I'm like, what? You gonna pray for the food? Oh, shoot. Don't mind if I do. And then I started Black Girl Tea, and y'all know the turmoil of that. Jeez, I've been going for weeks about the turmoil of that. But really just praying, like, God, if this is something that you feel like I should do, give me a sign. I started getting opportunities to do things. I'm like, nah, this is God talking. A lot of ideas that I would have, people would be like, let's do it. It was always a yes. It was always a yes. And I was just like, yes. And I was trusting and believing in God because, like, I was getting all these yeses. I was getting all these approvals. And then one day I got a denial. And I was just like, dang, that sucks. I kind of gave up. Talked to God about it again. And I realized that that particular idea that I had wouldn't be able to work because I wouldn't be able to execute it in the manner in which God seemed fit for it to be executed. So I had to, you know, take a step back, continue to do what I'm doing. And I started getting yeses again. And really just asking God to guide me with everything that I do with Black Girl Tea. And that's what he does. There are certain situations that y'all come to me with that I've never experienced. But I'm able to give y'all advice. I'm able to push y'all forward. And that's all because I lean on God. So when I did the first tea party, I had prayed, like, God, if this is something that you want me to continue to do, like, please just let it go well. Please just give me the words to say. Give me an idea. Give me fresh ideas that, you know, people can benefit from. And I got on that live, that Zoom call with Shay, and we did the damn thing. I'm not gonna lie to you. And it was confirmation. People start asking me, oh, when's the next one? Oh, well, you should do this. And it was great. And I'm like, this is nothing but God. Because this is some of these ideas that I was having, I don't even know where they were coming from, y'all. Like, I would be asleep one day and just wake up like, oh, let me write this down. Waking up out of my sleep, writing down plans that I have for myself, not even understanding really what was going on. And I really just let it rock. and just really trusting in God and knowing that he had a plan and a will for my life. And at the end of the day, his will be done. If I'm obedient, that's what's going to happen. And I really just started listening to God and just following my feelings with things like that and allowing him to lead the path for me. And my friend sat down with me right before my first in-person event, and she was like, "Are you going to pray?" And I was like, "You think I should?" And she was like, "No, I don't think you should pray. That's going to be weird." And I was like, "Yeah, you're right." And right before the event, I just had this little tug at my heart, like, "Yo, you got to pray. You got to pray, bro." And I took it as like me praying for myself. Like, I'm going to go in the bathroom while everybody, this is in Boston. I'm going to get in the bathroom in my little secret closet with God, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start this event. And Zelda walked in, and she was like, "Whew, I had to pray." I'm like, "Why you had to pray, Zelda?" And she was like, "I don't know, I just had a little shift, not a negative shift, but just a shift." And Zelda's someone who me and Zelda could talk about the goodness of God for weeks, for hours, years, if you let us. So I was like, "All right, cool." And I just prayed right then and there, and I felt good. Had a great event. Boston was great, treated us well. And I was like, "All right, boom." Like, I now know that moving forward, as a starter, everything, I have to pray. And then about a year later, actually, when we did the Hill Tea Party, I had already knew, if you're going to do this, you got to do it right. And you got to start off with prayer. And I prayed. Everybody was like, "I love the fact that you prayed before this. Like, I believe in God." I was, you know, "We here, we trust in God that this is going to be a good event that we can learn from and take something away from it." And I was just like, glad I prayed. And I promised myself from that point forward, like, I pray all the time, but before I start any event, I need to pray. Then a little bit after that event, I went to my grandmother's house and we're talking about things. My grandma's like, "Well, how'd the event go?" And I'm telling her. And I was like, "You know, my favorite part is that I prayed before the event." She was like, "Girl, you better pray before the events, because you don't know what people coming in there with. Prayer is protection." Prayer, and she just kept saying it and just going on about how prayer was protection. And I just started reading. I went on Google and I put verses about protection. So many verses came up and I started reading them. And using them as like my everyday, like, God, I wake up in the morning, thank you, God, for waking me up again, giving me another day. Please protect me and watch over me and guide me. Thank you for your mercies, unseen and unseen. Like, just really going in with things. And it's natural now. I feel like if I have an event and I don't pray, people gonna look at me like, "Girl, you forgot something." And religion is weird because everybody has their own understanding and interpretation of things. And I'm not here to change your interpretation of it. If that's how you see it and understand it, that's you. But for me, I really just know that God is my all, and I will always acknowledge him in things. Part of my religion, you know, that defines who I am. And if I'm going to sit here and I can be confident in the boldest outfit, but I can't be confident in God. Like, that's really how it plays out for me. So I have no problem with praying. I'm praying over food. I'm praying before we leave each other. And, you know, you have to be respectful sometimes and be like, "Oh, guys, like, I'm Christian, you know, Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal, so on and so forth. So this is how we do things." And I always acknowledge that, you know, like, y'all may not pray, but this is what I do. So if you don't mind me praying, cool. If you do mind me praying, then you should step out, because I'm not gonna do that. And that's a part of who I am. I'm not changing that because you don't have the same religious belief. I'm respectful of your religious belief, but I can't stop my practice because you don't agree with what I'm practicing. And we could be at Grill too. When they put on them little church songs, I'ma cut it up. I'ma serve God and praise him wherever I'm at. And it's really, like, I can't explain to you how I became this confident. I'm trying to, but, like, God is all I know. When there's no money in my bank account, but I'm still eating, God did it. God did it. And he always will, and he always has done it for me. So I have no choice but to acknowledge him. The same way, like, when you have supportive friends, like, "Oh, thanks for putting up for me, sis. Thanks for, like, acknowledge that. And it's the same thing with me with God. I know that there are, I have opportunities that I'm not qualified for, that I shouldn't even be having, and I get them because God got me. I pray, I tithe, I do what I can do so that God can see, you know, sir, I'm still here tugging at the hem of the garment. Like, and that's what really keeps me pushing. And I hope to the young lady who asked me about this, I hope everything that I said answers your question. But don't let these people make you feel like serving God is corny or nothing like that, because God is all we got. And people going to try to downplay it. People try to downplay anything. They try to downplay you having a job. They try to downplay you having a husband. They try to downplay you, you know, doing what you do and rocking and moving to the beat of your own. People going to try to downplay everything. But at the end of the day, if you know in your heart that God is your all in all, ain't nothing that nobody on this earth could tell you. At the end of the day, God died for every last one of us. It's not one person walking this earth that died for you, that's ever walked this earth that died for you, in the manner in which that man did. Because maybe somebody did lose their life because, you know, on your behalf. I ain't trying to downplay that. God did his big one when it came to me. He hung his head. And for me, he died. You know? But I encourage y'all to go to church, get a relationship with God, and get a relationship with God first before you're trying to commit to church. Church could be a little crazy. People have experienced church hurt. I have experienced church hurt, but not in the sense of like how other people are like, oh, the church shunned me. I feel like the church has all these standards, and sometimes you only get held to standards when you're a certain person. And I don't like to be bothered with stuff like that. So I do religion my way. I watch my little TD Jakes. I read my little Bible study packages that I be getting in my email. And I do the thing. God is still blessing me. And I will forever give his name the praise. And that's that on that. I feel like y'all probably wanted more from that, but that's all I have to say. Like, I really can't burn, like, I can't dumb it down for you any more than what I just explained it. But I do encourage you, you know, get you a little gospel playlist. Gospel music be hitting. Like, Bless Me by Maverick City and Kirk Franklin. Bless me, bless. Like, come on now. Them songs be hitting. Y'all better get you. Listen to Donnie McClurkin. All right, get a pen and piece of paper. I'm gonna put y'all onto some tunes. I'm gonna give y'all a couple tunes to listen to, because y'all be needing it. Stand by Donna McClurkin, a bop. Come By Here by, I think it's Prince Tay. That's my song. I'm trying to think what else. Well, Bless Me by Maverick City and Kurt Franklin, definitely a bop. Standing in the Need by John P. Key, definitely a bop. That old school Mahalia Jackson, even though sometimes it could be hit or miss, definitely a good song. The Clark Sisters, they have a few good songs. One of my favorite songs, it's not the Clark Sisters, it's actually, I think it's Twinkie Clark. Let me pull up my phone real quick. Boom, boom, boom. Complete the Work by Twinkie Clark and the Florida A&M University Gospel Choir, that's a good song. I'm trying to put y'all on real quick. Order My Steps. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me. Sorry. That song is by GMWA, Women of Worship. That's a good bop. It's a lot of songs. Y'all really just got to get up in there and do Awesome by Charles Jenkins and all of them. Be Grateful by Walter Hawkins. Completely Yes by Sandra Crouch. Changed by Tremaine Hawkins. Trouble Don't Last Always by Timothy Wright. Awesome God by Youthful Praise. You're Bigger by Ja'Kalyn Carr. Anything Donald Lawrence hit. Don't Worry by Kirk Franklin is definitely a good one. Love You Forever by Tasha Cobb, that's a good one. Y'all gotta get on your own little journey. Those are a couple songs that y'all can listen to. You may not like them. I like a good old little southern bop. Old school gospel music get to you. Old school music in general is good, no matter what genre it is. But that's that. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'll talk to you next week.